All right, let's continue our teaching inspired by Isaac. When I began this, my initial plan was to take the life of the man Isaac and study it. But I have gotten stuck on talking about his name and where he came from. That is the fact, the matter of the promise of God. I have not been able to leave that one since, and I believe that's how the Holy Spirit wants it. And I'm going to continue speaking about that promise matter again. Last two times, I talked about the fact that life has stages, and that in the second stage, that is, we are looking at it in two stages now. And the first stage of life, you actually are qualifying yourself for the next stage of life. That grace is when you qualify for it. Grace is not just unmerited, as in that anybody can receive grace. Potentially, yes, but the person that wants to receive grace must do what is necessary, not to pay for grace, but to be able to receive the grace. For example, you must show a sense of value for it. And I'm going to talk about that again today. You must show that it is valuable to you. Do you understand? If you are going out and you are depending on what you have done, you are saying in effect that grace is not valuable to you. So that's what I mean by one of the things you do by when I'm talking about qualifying for grace. It is not as if you can pay for it. No, it's just that you must show that it's valuable to you, that, you know, this thing is important. And I said that is the difference, or that was the difference between Jacob and Esau. Esau was harder working, all right, than Jacob, actually, if you look at it. He was a better person to relate with, all right, in the early stages of their lives until God finished teaching them the lessons of life. Esau would have been a better person to relate with. He was more predictable. But he had one thing that was seriously lacking in his life, and that was a sense of value for the grace of God, the sense of value for the promise of God that was running in his lineage. He didn't have that. For that reason, he was willing to sell his birthright for a morsel of meat, because he was hungry. Just for one single meal, he was ready to let that thing pass. And that's simply a reflection of the fact that he did not value it. So we're talking about qualifying for grace. That's one of the things. You must value it. That's what I'm going to explain. So we said that in that second stage of life, when you will have qualified for the manifestation of divine destiny in your first stage, then God can now release things into your life. And that what God is doing in your life is just to fulfill the promises that he made concerning you. God wants to bring to birth the reason why he gave you life. All right? He wants to bring it to birth by his own power. What you are doing in your life as a young man, in the early stage of your life as a young woman, is saying to God, manifest your power. We're preaching here on Tuesday, the school of prayer. And we said that prayer is not like trying to beg God to do something. It's more like allowing God to do that which he really wants to do. Because on this earth, he has given you and me the power, the authority. All right? We are the ones in control. So when we are praying, what we are simply doing is saying to God, that which you would like to do. If you were the one in charge on the earth, then we are giving you the power and the authority to do it. Then God moves in with his power, and he does the things he wants to do because we gave him the authority. So the period of prayer, what we are doing is that we are uttering, we are releasing our authority to God, that we say, come, do what you want to do. And that's how it is also, something like that, talking about qualifying for grace. In the first stage of your life, you are allowing God to come into the latter stages of your life by qualifying for what he really wants to do. So he said in that Luke chapter 19, we studied it, occupy with this until I come. He gave each person an amount of money. That money was not what he was after, but he wanted to see how serious they were as individuals. He wanted to know whether, and that's why he said that if you are not faithful in that which belongs to another person, who will give you your own? What he was saying is that, you see, it's why you are handling something that belongs to somebody else. We determine whether you are capable of handling anything at all. You understand my point? So that's just the principle. It's about qualifying for things. That's what it is. So last time I now began to explain again, that the last meeting, that what God is doing in that first stage again is to rearrange you, all right? He's trying to convert you. I said something then, if I send a tweet out on it, that you see, if you're all your life you have been encouraged, no matter how encouraged you are, if you are not corrected, you will never see breakthrough. Because what's happening is that what is hindering the release of God's power into your life is inside you. It's not in your neighbor. If you want to see a man that's not going to go far in life, you want to see a woman that's not going to go very far, talk to the person. He's always blaming other people for what is happening to him or her right now. There's this man I know, right? every time you talk to him about, he had issues, all right, in life and all of that. So one day, my wife and I prepared that let's help him out, all right? So I went to see him. And I sat down, greeted him, how are you doing, long time and all of that. Before the Jesus, okay, I now got down to the issue that was on ground, how are things and everything. He said, he mentioned one of his nieces. What did I call it? Niece. You know what a niece is? It's the opposite, that he will be an uncle to that woman. You understand? I said, that one, I'm counting her sins for her. She said she will help me the other time till now. Then count another person. After counting a few, I got angry. Say, me that have left everything I had to do to come and settle with you and see what we can do. You have not even counted me. So if I wasn't here, I know how you'd be counting me behind my back. Then, like, what is going on here? You're pointing at everybody for your problems in life currently, forgetting one crucial factor, that you're older than all these people by far. Tony Parker, I told a story once. He said, He has a brother. I think a half brother. A half brother, all right? And when his half brother's father died, his own father also died because it was the same man. I don't know whether you got that. They're born of different mothers, but the same father. So one day, their father died, and he was young. Everybody was young. But let's make a long story short. The way life turned out for him, God still blessed him. You understand? That's the summary of it. Once in a while, that fellow will come to him to ask for help. Maybe children's school fees and stuff like that. And he was always willing to give. There's only one problem. The man always told the story every time he will come. That it's just because my father died. If my father had not died, he said he'll be keeping quiet looking at the man. The man will leave. Next time he'll come, please, so these are the issues in the house and all of that. He will need some money and all of that. That if only his father didn't die, things would not have been like this. So it's after he said that in long enough, Tunde Bakar said, they couldn't take it anymore. He shouted back at this senior brother of his. He said, was that your father? Not my father also. That is the reason why things are like this with you. It's not because of your dead father. Because if that was the issue, I should have the same problem. And that's the problem in life. Oftentimes, what people are doing is just pointing at other people for the reason why they are where they are right now. And I said it then that it is very wrong. You know, I was discussing with a friend of mine the other day. And you see, people are always explaining adult behavior by upbringing. That's bad behavior of adults. Listen, I don't believe a word of it. You know what I said? Go and read my book, Choices, Key to Destiny. I discuss it in there. The reason why you are bad is not because you were badly brought up. Because, listen, God always gives each person a chance to turn his or her life around. You are following what I'm saying? Don't let anybody, because then, in fact, I was having a meeting with some friends and we were talking about things. And they say, this is why he behaves like this. His father was like that. His father was like that. I said, look, listen, forget all of these things. You think all these same people in life, they all have same fathers? I read Ed Cole those days. Ed Cole would describe how to release yourself from the negative influence of an alcoholic father, as an example. Now, you see, God always allows each person an opportunity to change the way things were. I know people come from different backgrounds, all right? But God always, please, I can't discuss that in details now. Go and read my book, Choices, Key to Destiny. That's what I explained there. If you had a very horrible background, if you look along the line, there was a time God gave you a friend that had a different mindset, a different method of doing things. The only thing is that you see, along the line, those who don't change, there will be a reason why they will not go after that fellow as a friend. He's too demanding. Maybe they like to come back home at 10 p.m. every day or at 1 a.m. And the fellow said, no, I'm sorry, I don't stay out late at night. And God is long-suffering. I say all the time, he's not ever suffering. After a while, he gives up on people. Forget that fellow. He doesn't want to change. Then later on in life, if you go to countries where things really behave funny, you know what I'm saying? A man will just wake up one day and start killing everybody. one thing happened, it was yesterday. Just carried a gun, entered an airport in Los Angeles, I shoot it. If you ask him now, he say he was abused as a child. You know that kind of thing. It's not because anybody was abused as a child. It's because when God gave the opportunity for change, they rejected it. When it came to Jesus Christ, that was the issue. Men love darkness. So that was all. When they love darkness. Jesus was the opportunity for change, but they loved darkness. What am I saying? Let me not get carried away by that. So we said that in that first season of life, what God is doing is changing people, changing us. Everybody comes from different aspects, different backgrounds. There are different things that have happened to people in their lives. And many of those things are the reason the people will not inherit their inheritance. Let me use that expression. That's why they will not receive their inheritance. So God said, for the first few years of your life, I am going to take you through many experiences so as to change what you are right now so that you can become what is able to receive that inheritance. And that's the story of Jacob's life. That was the story of Jacob's life. Other one of going to Laban's house, another, it was to teach him things that Abraham learned. It was to teach him things that Isaac already knew that he had not gotten the point. I was reading, I was for Chambers many years ago, and he was talking about sufferings, you know, talking about people suffering and all of that. He said the sufferings of Jacob, were they necessary for him to receive that inheritance? He said the inheritance was not tied to the suffering, but it was necessary for Jacob to suffer so that he would be able to receive the inheritance. That was why Isaac did not suffer like that. The inheritance was not tied to the suffering. But Jacob had to be changed. Jacob had to be transformed to the place where he would be able to receive the inheritance. Let's not talk about Jacob now. You and me, today, we need to be changed. Listen, this is the process of breakthrough. Everything you're experiencing in life, God is just using you to correct your mindset. Every mindset you have attracts something. You hear what I said? Yes, every attitude in you attracts something. There's an attitude that attracts a short life. There's an attitude that attracts a long life. There are attitudes that attract poverty. You know, I did a series on it already some time ago. 7 attitudes that result in failure. Go and get it. It's available on our website, free download. 7 attitudes that result in failure, and that the wise will be careful to avoid them. There are attitudes. So what God does is, listen, this fellow, I want to bless him, I want to bless her. So what do we do? As he is right now, he can't receive it. So let's correct him. Let's correct him. The man looks for work for 1 whole year, 2 years, 3 years. People said, there are no jobs in Nigeria. God said, look, there are enough jobs. If you're a child, listen, I always like to put this in. I'm not preaching to Muslims. I hope you don't understand that. I'm not preaching to those who don't believe in God. I'm preaching to who? Who am I preaching to? I didn't hear you.
Christians.
I'm preaching to Christians, believers. And the fact about believers is that their lives are different. Something happened to somebody beside them may appear identical, but what God is doing is very, very different. Are you getting my point? So if you get to a place and they say, there are no jobs, that is not the reason why a Christian doesn't have one. His or her reason is always different, always different. The unbeliever beside him, I don't have anything to say to that fellow. All I have to say to you is repent and be baptized. Give your life to Christ. Receive forgiveness for your sins. That's what I can tell that fellow. But I'm talking to the Christian. His or her life, the reasons are always with God, and it can never be an environmental reason. Did you hear what I said? It can never be an environmental reason. You know something about environmental reason? Why is there no food? It's because there's famine. Not for the one working with God. There may be famine, quite all right. But the reason why he doesn't have food is not tied to the famine. It's not tied to the famine. There can be, you know, lack of jobs, like we are saying. So that's why brethren for the last 5 years have not been able to get employment. God said, never. That cannot be. If I wanted to give them employment, I will send it. The reason why they don't have it is because there is something inside them that is not yet able to receive it. I have it for them anytime. That's why, you know, I say to you all the time, I don't read all these nonsense statistics. Understand? In Nigeria, what do you call it? Life expectancy is this. Listen, life expectancy in Nigeria is not my problem. Are you getting my point? It's not. I'm not a statistic. You get my point. I'm not an average person, so that what happens normally is likely to happen to me. If I died, the time I would die is determined by a number of factors. The most important one of them is whether I fulfilled the purpose of God for my life. John the Baptist died at the time he died because that was the time for him to die. And Jesus Christ followed him a few years later. It wasn't because life expectancy in that area was Romans are always killing people. Because if you look at it, both of them died very strangely. You know, strangely. One fellow was beheaded, the other one was beaten and nailed to the cross. And I said, you see, it was a violent season. When you watch National Geographic, they tell you it was a violent time. The violence in the air was plenty. So people used to die at the age of 30, 33. Why? Because the Romans were in power and they had a stupid man as a king. So that was why John the Baptist died. Listen to me, that was not why John the Baptist died. John the Baptist died because he said, I must decrease, he must increase. And we have read the scriptures enough to know that Jesus refused to preach publicly until John the Baptist was taken into custody. Those ministries were not meant to run side by side. So we understand the death of John the Baptist. And the death of Jesus Christ, you and I were the cause now. It wasn't the Romans. He told them ahead of time because people were going to confuse it. He had to tell the disciples, listen, a time is coming. I will be beaten, I will be battered, and I will be nailed to the cross. Peter said, no, such things should not happen. He said, forget, you don't understand what I said. The counsel of God. Father, should I say, deliver me from this hour? For this cause I came to this hour. He came so he might reach that hour. So when that hour came, he died. Listen, Ebola virus is not the cause of the death of a child of God. Are you getting my point? No matter how plenty the plague is, children of God don't die because of the plague. It may be an instrument. Saul died, the Bible says, because of the trespass he committed against the Lord. That was why he died. Even though we know that the man died because of a tactical error in battle. We know. But the Bible says, no, that was not why Saul died. Saul died because of the trespass he committed against the Lord. That was why he died. You are getting the point I'm making. So you see, your blessing is not dependent upon the environment. It's not. Let me read the first scripture I wanted for us today. Let's pick up from there. Quickly. 2 Peter chapter 3. In fact, a number of them I'll read. Okay, let's read the one that we have been using all the while. Genesis chapter 21. But if you're already in 2 Peter, just open it and put a finger there. Genesis chapter 21. Before you read that 21, maybe we should quickly look at something. Just to remind us of what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Or before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. That will be in Genesis chapter 18, thereabouts. Now, please, notice verse... Well, quickly, let's just get to the main one I want to read so as to save time. If we see in verse 9, Genesis 18, verse 9, we'll get back to 21 in a moment. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, there in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, now, I'm going to jump that. I'm trying to get somewhere. All right, just note that. Now, quickly, go back to that chapter 21, and let's read verse 1 again. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. The emphasis is on the word again, promise. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Now let's just stop there. Now, back to that 2 Peter. Let's go back to that 2 Peter chapter 3 that I mentioned. I'll read from verse 3. Note this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming. Notice the word promise. For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. And when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Now, please, because of time, I just want to jump to where I want verse 8. It said, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, but with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Now let me stop there. What I want actually is verse 9, and I would like to read it again. He said, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Let me explain this. Now you can look up, please. These are the main scriptures I want to read. Now I've explained this before, but let's repeat again for a moment so as to make it clear and tied to what we're talking about today. At the time came God visited Abraham, and he said to Abraham, by this time next year, your wife will conceive and you'll have a son. And this was a promise that was 25 years in fulfillment. That was the 24th year that Abraham had received that word. And I'm explaining again that why did it take God 25 years? Remember, we read here that God is not slow concerning his promise. And I preached a message on it many years ago. It's in our collection. You can look for it. It's titled, God is not slow. In fact, it's one of the messages I enjoy the most, all right? If you want to say, okay, which of the messages you like, that's one of them that I really, really like, all right? God is not slow. And I explained this thing there. Now, you see, God is not slow. He's never slow. He comes at the appropriate time. Life is like a circuit board. A circuit board, you know, like a computer. You understand my point? Like you have, it's like a machine. That's the way it is. And the glory of God always flows through appropriate channels. And the mistake, now this is what sin is. Sin is a disruption in the order of God. Are you getting my point? All right, maybe you connected, you buy a piece of equipment, a toy, an electrical appliance in the house. They say it uses batteries, AAA batteries. Put them in, they put plus sign here and minus sign here. If you turn it the other way around, all right, therefore putting the plus against where the negative was supposed to be, at the end of the day, what you have done is what the Bible calls sin. That's what they call iniquity. I keep on saying it. Iniquity is not a moral thing. Say, how could you do that? Don't you know? Most of the things people call sin are just the things that other people don't like. It doesn't mean they are wrong. Are you getting my point? For example, now, if you grow up in some of these European countries, children are being taught, deliberately trained to accept perversion as normal. And those guys will come out in one generation and they will see nothing wrong with being a homosexual. In fact, in many European countries, they have achieved it. If you take a poll of young people, ask them, they think it's just an alternative lifestyle. It's the way you like it. Some people like men. Some men like women. Some men like men. And now they've now introduced a thought. You know, madness is an interesting thing. It doesn't come to an end. They are succeeding with that. They now said, before it was just gay and straight. Now it's now gay and transgender. They've added it to it. And they will now put another one now. In fact, I was reading one news the other day that their campaign that should accept a third sex, so you don't have to be male or female. You can be something other than the other two. And to you, it's like, how can? It is how can because of training. Are you getting my point? Yes. After a while, people get trained to accept what is abnormal as normal. But this is the interesting part. No matter how well we accept what is abnormal as normal, if it is wrong, it is wrong, because it's a spiritual circuit that's been disrupted. So power does not flow. As you know now, no PACN does not exist technically anymore in Nigeria. You know that. You now have this, there's this big, strong generating company that decides that they are generating enough power to supply your neighborhood. Then the day you wanted to wire your new house, you go to the market, and you couldn't find them, aluminum cables, those fat aluminum cables. So somebody now sold you yellow nylon cables, not nylon cables. Those are that you see them using to tow vehicles, they used to tie things, those fats. They look like, look at it, they actually are spiral like the one they use for electrical connections. The only difference is that this one is yellow, the other one is, you know, it's aluminum, so it's silvery, or you understand? So they say, okay, we can't, look, we don't have that one. So buy this one, it's even cheaper. Maybe that one is 1,000 naira a meter. This one, look, we'll give it to you for 150. Eh? Yes, now. So you buy plenty of it. In fact, to make assurance double sure, you buy double the length. Then tell the man wiring it to double it. Listen, no matter the amount of power being generated by the generating company, no matter the amount of power that's coming down to that your street, once it gets to your electrical cable, your own form of electricity, that's your own form of electrical cable, it will stop there. Then you get home, you put on the light. What's happening? I paid these people. What is the problem? Then you call the headquarters and say, but the men said they've connected you. I don't see why there should be a problem. And you are there all the time. What? The first day, second day, they now go and call them. No, I want you guys to come and inspect it. Then they come and say, what is this? So that's my own kind of cable. It's a free world. It's a free country. I use the kind of cable I like. You cannot dictate to me. Maybe you like aluminium. Or and you, the other guys like copper. I like nylon. It's a free country. First Amendment, like America says. The freedom of expression, this is how I express myself. The generating company can't fight you, right? Can they fight you? It's your cable, it's your house, but their power can never flow into that home. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much God loves you, there are channels his power does not flow through. Don't be vexed. It's not as if he's angry. He's just saying, I cannot put children in this kind of home. I can't put money in this kind of bank account. It does not make sense. I can't bring breakthrough into this kind of situation. No matter how much I desire it, the word is what is it? Can't. It's not won't. There's a world of difference between won't and can't. It's not like he's angry. That's what I want you to understand. It's not anger. It is, yes, I know you have prayed. I know you have prayed. I know you have fasted. You have generated enough power. But I am sorry. This cable you are using does not work. You know the interesting thing? Many people, number one, let me say something to you. If you are not being taught, if you are not listening to instructions, you are not in a place where people are feeding you with the word of God, you will never know. You can, and you know God is interesting. You can live through life 40, 50, 60 years with that cable connected. You won't have power in that house. You won't have it. You will not have it. All he's saying simply is go and get another cable. Human beings can be stubborn. Now, there are those who go to churches and they love it like that. All they want is a prophet who will come to the house and say, all the enemies that said there will be no power in this house, today they will fall down. Today they will scatter. And every day they are praying, power in this house, power in this house, power in this house. And they are declaring, power, I can feel it, the breaking of the power. It's about to come. Somebody, get ready. I'm telling you, every day people are praying like that. That's why I said before, no matter how encouraged you are, until you are corrected, you will never be blessed. That's why Elihu said one of the most crucial prayers you must pray in life is, that which I see not, teach thou me. Because when you come out every day, you see your cable is there. It's well connected, but that thing does not transmit power. It does not transmit power. It does not transmit power. It does not transmit power. Don't ever forget the thing I said earlier. A Christian's blessing is not dependent on the environment. If you didn't take anything away from what I've said so far, hold that one tight. It's important you understand it so that you stop blaming, pointing fingers at the environment. It's because dollar is now 162. When it was 120, where were you? And ask people who the Lord blessed. Whether it's 160 or 120, it makes no difference to them. Because some of them, when God said, okay, this naira is fluctuating too much, he said, okay, let me supply your money in dollars so that you don't have to think too much. Yes, the Lord can do that. Please bear it in mind. A Christian's blessing, his promotion, is not because of the environment. And the lack of that blessing, the lack of that promotion, also is not because of that environment. It is not. You must always learn to look inwards. And listen, let's read it again. One of the scriptures that really explained this thing very well. Isaiah chapter 40. Very important. Isaiah chapter 40. Let me say this thing again. He said, God is not slow concerning his promises. God is 1 minute. He is not late by 1 minute. As soon as he accomplishes that which he wants to accomplish in this season of your life, you are ready for the next. If there's a delay, it is not with him, it is with you. Are you getting my point? The Bible says God is not slow as some count slowness. One of the ways people, you know, I always say this, people use other people to judge their own timing. It's one of the reasons why some people think God is slow. Yeah, they use other people to judge their own timing. But let's leave that. Even when it comes to your own timing, the reason why God does not manifest at the time that should have been appropriate for you is because he says simply that God is waiting for men to repent. What does it mean to repent? To change their minds, to change their thought patterns, to change their attitudes, to change their ways. And until they do, he can't do what he wants to do. That's why, you know, when I hear people say it all the time, you know, it always makes me laugh. They say God is not fulfilling the promise he made to Israel because of their faithfulness. He's fulfilling it because of his own faithfulness. I said, when did you ever see God deliver Israel without repentance? Read your whole Bible. It's only when it comes to modern day Christianity that God doesn't use that anymore. Deny him. He'll still gather you together and say, you are children under my wings. Slap him in his face. Say, don't worry. I'm a gentle father. I'm slow to anger. God always demands repentance. And repentance, now I was saying earlier, that what happens, we were talking about sin. Let me quickly, before I lose track of that. Okay, let's read this and I'll get back to it. Quickly, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Please notice that very carefully. Verse 3 says, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. How do you do it? Lift up every valley, every mountain and hill, bring them low. As a consequence, the rough ground will become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. He said, then, it's an automatic thing, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now notice it, when God's mouth speaks, his spirit goes out to gather. But the problem is that when his spirit is bringing that which he has gathered, oftentimes there is no way to pass. That's what we are saying. The same thing we are saying. The same thing we are explaining. That's what Isaiah is saying here. So what is God doing in that first phase of life? He's realigning our circuits. He's changing your cables. Sometimes the old cable is so buried inside your system that the chiseling of the, you know, the stuff away can be very painful. But listen to me, until he does it, forget that blessing is not coming, that breakthrough is not coming. It's not coming. Listen, God didn't send you, the problem, you know, people think that human beings triumph by their own energy. No, you can't. You cannot. You cannot. What God does for his children, anywhere he puts you in life, even if God is going to bless you, maybe you're doing a particular business, and that is the place he wants to increase you from. All right, or through. In the early stages, he's not actually. Now, listen to this. It is not that business he's doing. You know, like maybe you're selling cement. In the early stages, God is not really selling cement with you yet. He's teaching you other things beyond the trading of cement. He's teaching you how to go to work on time. He's teaching you how to be diligent. It's teaching you how the proper use of money. It's teaching you how to talk to people. You know, once we had an issue, all right? Many of you know what I'm talking about. A broadcasting station that we were supposed to broadcast a message on. I had to ask the MD. When I walked into his office, I said, let me just talk to him. Let's settle this matter. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that when the man finished talking for the first few minutes, I couldn't believe this man was talking to a client. That does he realize we are paying money? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That does he realize that this is not charity? We didn't walk in here and say, please, sir, we heard that your radio station is very nice. Please, can we put our program on it? You know, we preach very powerful word. God will bless you in return. No. I'm bringing an issue. When I finished speaking that, I told the man simply, straight. I said, know your problem? They did not teach you when you were growing up how to talk to people. Listen to me. Many people doing business, that's what their problem is. One of us came to Enugu. There was someone I used to go to buy rock from. After talking to him for a while, I said, this shop can never be bigger than this.